Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. We have quite an interesting things unfolding on the planet right now. I don't even know where to start, but it's getting real interesting. In England, I just was on a radio show over there, Glastonbury Radio. And they're talking about a mile-wide ship, I guess, that flew over England, and quite a few pilots saw this ship and quite a few witnesses, and they said this thing was just massive. So the big ships are back. They're being seen quite a lot right now in the sky. Reports are coming in everywhere. I usually take a look at Filer's files, George. Filer has a great National UFO Center where they do reporting of UFOs around the world, not to be mistaken with National UFO Reporting Center. That one you just want to kind of ignore and go. But anyway, George is doing a great job. It's National UFO Center. And it would be good to go and check out his site if you want to know what's happening around the world. Now, as far as here in the States, UFOs were spotted over Arkansas, California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Missouri, Nebraska, Nevada, probably ours, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, South Dakota, Texas, Wisconsin, and Washington State. Imagine that, UFOs in Washington State, go figure. But anyway, I guess somebody else is reporting UFOs in Washington State, other than us going out there watching them almost every night. I was out there for a little bit tonight and saw a couple really nice UFOs go over and was out there maybe 15 minutes. But these are definitely not the Iridium flares. We watched the Iridium flare go over and power up. It came up right on time. And we also look at the other UFO man-made objects, other satellites, space stations, etc. These objects are obviously not, let's say, could be man-made. Who knows? But they're not any conventional craft, let's put it that way. Now, also, too, around the world, Australia and Chile and Canada and Mexico, Norway and the Philippines are all having a UFO flap as well this week. So they're coming in everywhere. One of the most interesting things that's happening here is that actually my sister and some of her friends were talking about a large glowing object that was shooting out flames that went skidding across the sky here from east to west, and it seemed to have crashed over in Hood River, just above Hood River to the west. And there was quite a large fire that came from this object. Now, the interesting thing is, if you listen to the scanners, there are people up here that listen to the scanners on a regular basis, and they're talking about this fire they think was caused by a UFO, by a crash. Now, we can't find out anything about that fire. It's like it never existed. If you try to ask anybody within the fire department, or we've tried to get something on it. I mean, there's no news reports about this fire. It's like it never happened. And when you have a pretty big fire like that, believe me, it's in the local papers. It's definitely in the news. So this is probably one of three that I know about ships that have actually crashed. Things have come out of the sky and crashed in our area. And being that not too far away, they have a nice underground facility here towards the east. And it could be one of their little toys there that they're bringing out and probably misusing and getting spanked. Who knows? But anyway, something keeps falling from the skies in our area here, and I think there's definitely some kind of a, I think from what I understand, they're just done with the nonsense. A lot of the meditations I've been getting lately, they've made it very clear. They said, you know, the earth is done with the tyranny, you know, and the separation, the division nonsense. They said God is done with it. The people are done with it. Whatever image you have of God, if it is plugged in and is pretty much done with it. So we're all pretty much done with it, and it's coming to a close. And I think that might be part of this process, because there are some of our own craft up there that are in the hands of the wrong people, you might say, and there's also some other forces that need to be leaving this planet so it can continue on its quantum leap in consciousness and evolution. I wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight. Also, too, I want to open it up for call-ins. I'll give the numbers in just a moment. But what I really wanted to talk about was the information we've been getting, and it's very simple. It's very base common sense. And they talk a lot about Eden. And the original intent of the Earth was to be in Eden, where people lived in harmony with each other, and they lived in harmony with nature, and they evolved to their highest expression or highest potential. That was the original intent. Now, this intent got hijacked. And if you really want to look at what's behind continuing with the lack of harmony and the divisions and the separations and the wars and the holy wars, you know, we don't have to go too far to look at, you know, the kings, the governments, and the religion. They're basically the main cause of all these divisions and separations and so-called holy wars. And, you know, we often think that these people are in our highest and best good. They're there to lead us because we're incapable of leading ourselves. And they know more than we know. And it seems that they do know a lot more than we know. And if we really did know what they knew, we probably wouldn't have them in office right now. So that's all coming to the surface. It's unbelievable what's coming up. Major kudos to Kucinich for bringing the impeachment proceedings to the floor. Those are going forward. You know, his dissertation on the floor and grounds for impeachment was incredible. I think the man's guided by a much higher force, and when he got through and he covered everything, it's undeniable. We've been totally lied to. We've been led astray, and there's some people that have profited greatly at this, and it's time they're held accountable. We've lost a lot of troops, and I know his figures. He said there's over 1 million civilians that were killed in this effort, and it's not really having anything to do with freedom or democracy. It's really all about oil. And the bottom line is it's oil we don't really need, because we've had the fuel as technologies and energies for quite some time, which goes back to probably all the UFOs spotted over Nevada. So it all comes around. It all ties in together. But we've had this technology, these energies, for quite a long time, since the 40s, maybe even the 30s. But we haven't needed oil. We could utilize other technologies to take care of our energy and transportation needs. Now, one of the things I'd love to talk about is we have to look at the problem. I love to focus on solutions. If we really focus on solutions, we can take care of this. But to really find a solution, sometimes we have to look at the problem. And one of the main problems that I see over and over again is it goes back to this big three, the big three cartel. Call them the oil industry, the war industry, the pharmaceutical industry. They all feed each other. And they pretty much run the government. And we have our people there that we voted in that got their funding from these corporations and their corporate puppets, you might say. And there are some good people in there, too, as well, trying to really make a change and serve the people. But the majority of them are financed by big money, and they're really not there to serve humanity. They're there for their own self-interest, you might say. And they're going to go where the buck goes, basically. Now, the problem with that is that when you allow profit, corporate profit, to be the manifesting force behind destiny, what you have is you have basically the oil companies, the pharmaceutical companies, and the war industry, all of these people calling the shots. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, why don't we have peace? Well, peace is really bad business for the war industry. then we have to ask ourselves, why don't we have the cure for disease? This is 2007. Come on, you know, it's we have frequency devices where we can actually blast the diseases right in the body, run a frequency through the body, take them out. Rife technologies, all this was around the 40s. We've had these technologies for quite some time. There's safe, natural cures. There's all kinds of cures out there, but they're suppressed and held down. And why? That is bad business for the pharmaceutical companies. And actually, war is good business for the pharmaceutical companies and also the morticians as well, but we won't go that far. But there's we can take it even further than that. So we've got, you know, the oil industries, and we say, why don't we have these fuelless technologies? Why don't we have on-demand water being split and run through the cars? Well, that technology exists right now, and two of the people that brought it forward, one is still alive, and one was killed shortly after he gave a presentation to the military. So we can kind of understand where that's been going. But anyway, we've had magnetic motors. We've had fuelless energy for quite some time, and we've had the ability to split water on demand and run it through the engines with a little retrofitting and put out some nice clean exhaust, you know, would actually add that oxygen and water back into the system. So go up into the clouds, make clouds, come back down, rain, everything's hunky-dory. But anyway, all of these things have been subverted and stopped. So if we want to see the end of disease and the end of war, if we want to clean up the environment, we have to really clean up our consciousness, we have to clean up our leadership, and we have to take a long, hard look at what happened to Eden, who hijacked Eden. So the bottom line is very simple, is that you look at the original intent of the earth, which was to be Eden and to live in harmony with each other and nature, and evolve to the highest expression. What is suppressing that? What is holding that back? What is out of harmony with nature? What is dividing? What is separating? Now, the answer is very simple. One of the biggest separators on the planet is religion, even though even our own gospel here in the States, you know, it says there's no divisions in God. They talk about an omnipresent God that's omnipresent within everyone and everything. And one of our master teachers here said, ye are gods, children of the Most High. The Spirit of God dwells within you. It also dwells within your neighbor, and the Creator is omnipresent within all creation. And it's time we start acting accordingly. But anyway, not to go off on a rant here, there's quite a few things going on. I think Kucinich and Ron Paul and some of these other people are really addressing these issues of what happened to America. You know, where did we go and who took us there? And it's time we took a hard look at where we're going with brutal honesty and look what's happening to our environment, look what's happening to our freedom, look what's happening all around us, look at all the divisions and the separations, you know, the diversity down here of culture and religion only adds to the grandeur of spirit or God or whatever you want to call it. We don't need to move against each other. We can allow the differences and explore the different cultures and the different races and the different religions and see if there aren't universal principles and unifying threads throughout all the cultures and religions that we can all agree on and hang out together. I think this border thing and all this other nonsense and the generated terror that is generated, the manufactured lack, all of this nonsense, I think Kucinich spelled it out very, very well, where he said there is going to be a backlash or a backdraft, or I can't remember the exact words they used, to all of the nonsense that we've done in these other countries, and interfering with other countries' governments and their policies and tying up their natural resources and all of these things. There's a backdraft or a backlash that's going to come from that, and I think we are now seeing that backlash. So I don't think the road to peace is continuously killing all the terrorists that we most likely created by our actions in the past. I think the road to peace is to back up, take a long, hard look at our foreign policies, take a long, hard look at how we're treating others and nature, and back up a bit and redirect our whole country. Our whole country needs to be redirected in a different way, because right now we're on the downward spiral to social, economic, and environmental collapse. And I don't think nature is going to cooperate with that program. So what it's looking like right now is that nature, along with higher consciousness and energy and higher forces, and this huge influx of energy is resetting the Earth on a new course, a new destiny. We're all part of that, and we need to stand up and do our part, and do it with love, and remember that there's an old saying: being a Christ doesn't mean being a doormat. So anyway, it's real important to do our part and support those who are really making a difference on this planet and get that message out. But for those that think this is all just way too complicated, it is very simple. Just think of Eden, think of living in harmony with each other and nature, and think of the original intent, and then look at where we are right now, and look at those that are straying from that intent, and it all becomes very, very clear. It's really that simple. Now, I want to give the call-in numbers if anybody wants to call in. The call-in number is 877-876-5227. Again, that's 877-876-5227. Now, for Canada and the U.S., there's another number. It's 888-815-9756. Again, for the Canada number, that's 888-815-9756. And for the direct line, we've got 530-876-3222. So if anybody wants to call in, anybody wants to talk about any of these subjects concerning the quantum leap in consciousness and energy, the awakening healing process we're undergoing, if they want to talk about some of the things that are happening with Kucinich and Ron Paul, if you want to talk about UFOs and the reports that are being seen around the world right now and in the U.S. on a major scale, any of these subjects, or if you just want to talk about an experience you've had that might be paranormal or pretty bizarre or strange, feel free to call in. Looks like we have a caller. Hello.
How you doing? This is Ramon.
Hello,
from
Ramon.
New York. My first question is, I've spoken to a lot of friends about the subject that we're talking about, especially the lack of love within oneself.
Yes.
Which I personally always felt that once you have that love inside of you, you it's easier for you to correct the rest of the world. It's almost like you have a broken bridge right in front of your house, but you're going to try to fix your neighbor's broken bridge, but you can't even get over yours first.
That's a good analogy. It does all boil down to that. If people were standing in their own self-authority and their own self-love, you know, they would just look right at some of this other nonsense and just go, you know, I'm not going there. And it is very important.
My question is that it's one thing to say, okay, well, I'm going to practice self-love, and the other thing is, well, how do most people go about that? Because I know, like, within myself, like, a lot of times I'll feel fear or anxiety over very, like, different things, sometimes very stupid things. And like I was saying before, it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to practice that. Another thing is to actually do it. So what would be your advice, the best way to go about it?
You know, I think it's a series of focus. You know, you have to, what I see, the ultimate path is to become the observer and just observe what's happening around you and learn not to react. Don't react, just watch. And when you feel yourself wanting to jump in, just back up and feel the emotions and see what's pulling you into the dramas and the other things, and just until you can get really centered into that pure self-love or self-authority, that's one way. I find it's very important to observe our own emotions and our own feelings and what's happening in our lives, and don't project those on others. One of the other paths, I think, is part of this path, is to go within and heal any old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, you know, including past lives, and clean up any residual energies that are allowing a lot of these other dramas to hook you and other, you know, energies. I think the deeper we go and the more we expand in consciousness, we all have to learn how to heal some of these unseen negative influences. And there are techniques, you know, self-mastery techniques to help us do that. But what it all boils down to is to maintain that pure love and joy and bliss, which is your natural state, and hold that position as an observer and just send that energy into the situation. And if spirit is pushing you to act or to speak or whatever, speak from that point. You know, don't speak. Don't allow the wounds and traumas and unhealed part within self be the one doing the talking. Speak from your own God self. You may your own God center, you might say.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for calling. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about, or?
Well, pretty much that was like my main focus. Like lately, for myself, I would sit down and go into meditation. And I would focus on just the quiet breath, but lately I've been trying to focus more on the heart because, like I was saying before, the anxiety and fear sometimes will come out, and I noticed that's speaking from my point of view and seeing it in other people's lives. For example, I'll give you a quick example. I a couple years back traveled to Japan, and one day I just got tired of living in New York and just packed my stuff and left. And a friend of mine would always say, man, I wish I could be like you and just take off like that. And I compared both our lives and said, well, we're the exact same age. We both don't have any children. We both rent apartments. We don't own anything. We don't have a business. And I said, why don't you do it? He says, well, I'm scared. And I said, there's nothing to be scared of. Okay, fine. You go there. You go where you want to go, and if it doesn't happen, then you can come back.
Yeah, that is so true. You know, they say one of the qualities of a master is they can pick up and go in a moment. If spirit guides them, they're gone. They just follow that inner sensitivity or that inner guidance, and they go where they need to go. Sometimes it's upsets a lot of other people around them, but you know, that's just their nature. You know, they have the ability to pick up and go and do what they need to do in the moment. And you know, I noticed too, it is fear is the big one that really ties us down and blocks us, and that fear, you know, there are those that actually play on that fear and use that to put forward their agendas. But the more we lose the fear and, you know, align with our own God selves and do what one of the lamas I study with, I'll never forget what he said. He said that he said there's so few enlightened beings on the planet because it's so damn simple. Focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it. And I think the breath is a good meditation, do focusing on the breath, but the bottom line is God is a feeling. It's not an intellectual concept. It's a feeling, and it comes as a feeling, and it's through the emotions of the soul that you connect into the higher spirit, you might say, and that is the pathway. So it sounds like you're right on track by, you know, allowing the feelings to come to you and you know, learning to clear the feelings that don't feel good until you start hooking into those more blissful states, you might say.
The one thing I've noticed about that exercise is that it's almost like when you want to clean out a closet and you first open that door, it's just everything hits you at once. And I know a couple other people that have tried the exercise, they're like, I can't do it because it's way too much to deal with.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like the heart spits all this stuff in your face, and you have to, like, work through it. And I noticed the first few times that I did it, it actually felt like it made things worse.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only because, you know, we're beings that, from my understanding, live on experience. And everything that, at least I personally do, I can't speak for anybody else, but for myself, that we do, we all base it on our experiences, past loves, past friendships. You know, if something goes wrong with a friend, you're not going to trust your other friends the same way because that friend hurt you. So it all spits it back in your face, and it's working through that little by little that I find probably one of the most hardest things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is because you have to relive, you know, that betrayal or you know, someone disrespect you or you thought they disrespect you or made you angry.
Mm-hmm.
And that all comes back, and dealing through it is what I find for myself most difficult.
Yeah,
not saying that it's impossible, but
there's definitely no drive-in enlightenment centers and no silver pill you can take, or red pill or blue pill that's gonna do it for us. And it is, you know, you do have to face your beast, and you do have to move through that. The important thing is to realize is that once the emotional charge is taken out of that, the wisdom settles in the soul. So you're not going to lose the wisdom from the experience. You'll keep that, but you'll lose the charge or the wrong conclusion around it, or you know, the, you know, anything that might be harmful to be hanging on to anymore. You just lose that aspect of it when you do the work.
Thank you for your advice, and I'll keep listening.
All right. Call in again. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Have a good one.
That's a good good suggestion there, is beginning with self. It is so important that we make our own personal God connection right now and learn to become the observer and not get caught up in these things, but also, too, don't live in denial. If it's in your face and it's something that you came in to do and you know, part of your program, then you need to do it. Got another caller. Welcome.
Hey, Brother James. How you doing? This is Brian in Florida.
Hello, Brian. How you doing?
Just holding on and waiting for the changes to come.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was just listening to the other caller, and he is so right. It does just, like, come at you, like if you're opening up a closet, you know, and you see all the garbage that you have to face with. But I guess that's the path to enlightenment.
What do you think about, there's two options. One, you can be in control of your experience and engage it and initiate it and know what you're going through, or you can be totally unaware and get hit like a brick, which is what's happening to a lot of people.
Well, I really think it just comes down to the experience you want to have, you know, because
yeah.
This is where we each have our own path, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and so I just think it comes down to that. I heard you last time on Coast to Coast, George Noory.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something about November, I remember, saying
yeah.
about craft being, like, very commonplace.
You know what? They're being seen at the first of the show. I talked about all the sightings. They're just all over the U.S. right now. People are seeing them. But also, too, in November, one of the biggest events I was talking about, that was back in March, I think, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Yeah, it's mainly social political changes hitting really heavy this November and you know, economic as well. And sure enough, boy, it is hitting hard. You know, We're
yeah.
going through some severe economic changes.
Well, some of George's other guests are totally concurring with what you're saying. Sean David Morton was on a couple nights ago and
yeah.
saying the same thing. And the one thing I don't know if you heard is on Larry King Live last night, they did a whole UFO special. And on Monday, they're going to be having a disclosure conference at the National Press Club, including Seven Nations.
Well, I hope they air it this time. The last time, they just did a blackout on it.
With Stephen Greer?
Yeah.
That was very sad, yeah.
Now, who's holding this one? Is it Stephen Greer again?
The people who put together Out of the Blue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard them on Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have a TV up here. We don't, and I really don't want one.
I understand. I heard
but,
that.
So I didn't get to see the Larry King show, but was it a good show?
I didn't see it. My mother told me, actually, it is available online. If you go to the Out of the Blue website, you'll see it.
Okay.
They've got it in segments. And Larry King had another show some time ago about the Roswell thing, you know. I think it was on the anniversary. So it's kind of along the same lines. They had the resident skeptic,
yeah.
Shermer, I think is his name.
Yeah, what a nutcase.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so funny. He was on the History Channel, and they brought him in. And I didn't know he was going to be on there. They didn't tell me. They just did an interview with me.
I saw you on the History Channel.
Yeah, and it was funny. I watched it later, and it's almost like I just said what was coming to me at the time, and it totally negated every one of his comments.
Well.
And then they did a vote afterwards, and I had no knowledge he was even going to be on there. And he was saying things like, you know, well, this is eye wiggle. Well, you know, these ships are eye wiggling all the way across from horizon.
That's
to horizon.
Right. I heard him say that.
Yeah. And it's not eye wiggle.
Oh, that's a joke. Please, eye wiggle.
Yeah. And then he says, well, it's mass hypnosis or group hypnosis.
I heard that too.
Yeah. And, you know, people are coming up here from every walk of life. I mean, we had 30 Boeing engineers. We had Air Force base commanders. We have all these people coming in, seeing these ships from.
Yes.
And there's no hypnosis or preparation for this or anything else. They're just driving up, walking out on the field, you know, just watching, basically. We do have other more intensive ways of contacting, and
sure.
We show people how to do it through spiritual measures and
right.
Where you can get telepathic contact and feel the energy exchange. But, I mean, every one of his comments were so ridiculous. And then,
yeah, they're pretty mundane.
Yeah, and when they say there's no proof, and you look at these sightings, you know, somebody said 14%, some roper's poll or something.
Oh, God, they said that on Kucinich when they did the debate thing. Kucinich admitted to seeing a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
And the moderator said 14%. That's a joke, 14%.
Well, even if you think about it, if 14% of Americans have seen a UFO, how many people are in America? I can't remember something.
Over 350 million.
Yeah, 350 million. Okay, take 14% of that. What do we have?
I mean, still a lot of people.
That's a lot of people seeing UFOs, and some of these people are scientists, they're pilots, they're very credible people.
Very credible, unimpeachable witnesses, no question about it, and Stephen Greer has 500 of them or more.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I went on Coast to Coast the time before that, the last one, I actually brought in a Boeing engineer, and he was part of the Skunk Works project, and he had three PhDs.
And in Palmdale.
And he came out, and he testified, and he said, and a huge ship flew in. I mean, a major ship came in, and it was huge. Came in really low and had 7 points of light on it, and cruised in, got bigger and bigger and bigger as it came towards these guys. And, you know, it shook them up pretty good. I mean, you could tell they're just, it kind of turned them around a little bit. And they went on the show and they testified that this was real, you know, that this is, you know, and you got, you know, when you have witnesses like that coming on. But, you know, afterwards he said, oh, my God, what have I done? You know, I don't think I should have gone on Coast to Coast, you know, and he started.
Only 10 million people heard it.
Yeah.
And the officials as well.
Exactly. So I hope these guys aren't getting in trouble. But, you know, we have people from all the aerospace engineer places coming up here on a regular basis. And, you know, most of them are just kind of downhole people that want to have their own experience.
Sure.
They're good people. A lot of people in NASA are the same way. And then you have this, when you go up to the top, you know, I love what Hoagland did. We've been investigated by NASA, and they did it kind of covertly, but they got caught. But we've had all the agencies out here investigating, and they know it's real. But I love what Hoagland did. He totally exposed NASA as a military agency.
Yep.
And from the beginning, it's always been, you know, everything that they film out there has to go through NSA. Anything related to UFOs, it has a higher national security rating than atomic bombs and weapons, and it has to go through NSA. So,
isn't that something?
Yeah, it's the same thing with SETI. You know, Seth Shustak follows me around whenever I speak, and it's amazing. He goes, "Oh, there's no evidence whatsoever on the planet," and and I don't know which rock he's living under, or how much of his brain is fully operational. But it's, I mean, it's everywhere. The thousands of ships in Mexico, whole flotillas, Turkey. You know, they had the. Did you see the one in Turkey where they had the news coverage out there on a bridge, and these massive ships flew in right over. And the cameraman whips up the camera and gets them on the screen, and that's all over YouTube. But, I mean, YouTube is just full of sightings, and granted, you know, some of them are faked. There are some people that are faking some things on YouTube, but, you know, the preponderance of evidence there is showing that this is happening around the world.
Kucinich, the thing about Kucinich is, well, first of all, he's had his own encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Shirley MacLaine is his daughter's goddaughter, I think.
Yeah.
And so that came up in the debate, and so he mentioned that he's moving his campaign headquarters to both Roswell and Exeter, both hot spots.
Uh-huh.
And he said, quote, because they were kind of ridiculing, he said, there are more people who believe in UFOs in the United States than there are who approve of George Bush's job. And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I thought that was just fantastic.
Well, I think even with the controlled media, if you really got an honest poll out there, I can't see it being, you know, even in double digits. From, you know, most of the most conservative people live up here in Trout Lake. I mean, we have some very strong Baptist logging, hunting community, farming community, and very, very conservative. There are a lot of open-minded ones around here, too, but, you know, they had Bush stickers all over their cars, you know, when the elections went around. Now you won't find one Bush sticker. and, I mean, these guys are at the point of they want to get their guns and go to Washington. They're so fed up with this, and even they're all getting it. So I think, you know, if you just go by what's happening here and you see it everywhere and you go to Eugene or you go to Portland, when these guys come to Portland or Eugene, mm-hmm. they can't stay. You know, if they're planning to stay for 2 days or 3 days, they leave in 1 day because their own people say, you need to get out of here. We don't think we can control the mobs, you know. So,
yeah.
I know the Pacific Northwest is not a really good friend of these guys. I know the whole West Coast
yeah.
pretty much is not in, you know, good graces with them. And, you know, I don't know about that. I know people on the East Coast I'm talking to, you know, really conservative people, and they just shake their head and look down when you talk about it.
Yeah.
They either don't even want to talk about it or they're kind of embarrassed that they actually voted for him.
Big embarrassment, no question about it. I used to live on the West Coast, originally from California, but I lived in Corvallis, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And so I do know what kind of folks are up there. I live in conservative Florida, actually. And I got to tell you, one time, this was a few years ago, you know those big old pickups that the good old boys drive, that call
oh, yeah.
them, like duallys. Well, one time we saw someone had written on the back of their window, smirk this Bush. And there was no question it was on a conservative's thing. And we started seeing a turn in the tide here with the conservatives, not being supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the whole thing's unraveling. There's no question about it. It's coming.
You know, I'd love to see Ron Paul and
Dennis
Kucinich get together and toss the coin as to who's going to be president and vice president.
Oh, that'd be great.
And then run the country.
That'd be absolutely great.
It would unite everybody. It would unite all the parties. We'd get away from this, you know, Republican, Democans or whatever you call them. You know, we'd stop all this nonsense and you know, get back into doing what's highest and best good for the planet.
Back to the garden?
Yeah.
We've got to get back to the garden. There's no question about it because we've strayed so far away.
Yeah, I really believe that the Earth is getting ready to do some things. I know every master, every elder, everybody you talk to right now is talking about these big events unfolding between now and 2012. And what I'm seeing is that we are going to go through an incredible evolutionary jump, you know, and jump in consciousness. And there is going to be a major cleanup on the planet, too, so we have to let her do her thing where she needs to do it and flow with these changes.
Well, I just watched your last message on I guess it was Google Video,
mm-hmm.
and where you were talking about these things happening, and I guess this is an update or something. But yeah, I think we're in the time that the native folks call the Great Purification, and we're getting close to the end of the Mayan calendar, so it all seems to be coinciding.
Yeah, they're saying that this comet Holmes is the blue Kachina, and according to the prophecies, after the blue Kachina goes by, then
right.
the purification starts, and.
Right,
and they're all saying that the Hopi elders are talking about it's that time. I think the Mayan elders are—I can't remember what they're calling this—the fifth night or something, or
mm-hmm.
going through something.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention you're near Mount Adams, right?
Oh yeah, we're right at the base of Mount Adams,
and that's where Kenneth Arnold had the sighting.
It is. He lost sight of the ships when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams, according to the report.
Yeah,
and. And I think it's ironic because we have the National UFO Reporting Center with Peter Davenport, and he mm-hmm. he won't even take reports from people around here. You know, it's amazing. But he's gone just overboard trying to censor us and called us charlatans and fakers and you name it. And he's never been here. He won't even look at the footage. We have over 70 hours of footage. He won't.
I've seen a lot of your footage.
Take the reports, and he won't even. Talk to, you know, these top eyewitnesses that we have here. And, you know, the problem is that it's not just Kenneth Arnold, but there's over, well over 100-year history with the Yakima Indians. They've seen the ships for God knows how long, and they used to interact with them. They might still interact with them. I think they do, because I've talked to some people that were in spots where the ships were coming down, and they just kind of smiled, and they wouldn't talk about it. I started kind of asking some questions, and I said... Like I said, so do I need to go through like 3 or 4 sweat lodges with you? And and they smile and he goes, yes, you know. So
do you think Mount Adams is a lot like Shasta, where they're just coming and going from there?
You know what it is? I spent a lot of time in Shasta, and I've seen so much more UFO activity here than Shasta.
Really?
Shasta does have activity, but it's nothing like I've seen here. And, you know, I'm not trying to be... you know, exclusive or whatever, but Shasta has some great energy. I've had some incredible experiences there, but as far as the UFO activity, there is so much activity here because it hasn't been commercialized in any way whatsoever. It's all still wilderness area.
Right.
And, you know, the only people that are allowed up there are basically on foot, you know, hikers.
And it's reservation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wilderness area, and then far to the right there, it's reservation area, so...
Do you think there's subterranean activity going on?
Oh, I know there is.
So there's like there's probably like portals to like Telos and places like
that. You know, we watched the portals open up. We've actually watched in the middle of the mountain this huge light cross. It looked just like a cross. It was amazing. And I don't know why it would open up in the shape of a cross, because that seems to be a real inefficient door. But anyway, there was a huge white cross. We've seen things coming in and out of it. There's about 3 spots on the mountain where we've seen objects, massive objects. I mean, some of these things, the mountain is 13 miles away, although it looks like it's right in your backyard.
I've Google Earthed it. I've actually measured it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, to see something the size of a quarter, and, you know, just a brilliant light the size of a quarter, just the candle power is beyond imagination that would illuminate an
object. I want to take this opportunity to ask you a question. There's a picture of a disc with a helmet right to the left of it. Looks like a motorcycle helmet.
Oh, yeah.
Was that you? Did you take that?
No. A guy by the name of Guy something took that, an electrician. He was an electrical engineer, took that picture. And, you know, he doesn't even know, he has no idea what it is. He doesn't know how it got there on his camera. And he's just trying to get down and figure out what it is. Like, why is this object showing up in his camera. And we've gotten quite a few of those right in our field. We've got a lot of pictures in our field. And have you seen the video? It's called Sam. Says thank you, Sam, on it on the website.
I may have. I've spent quite a time on your site, and I've seen some of the stuff. The last footage I saw was on YouTube, I think, and they were talking about a particle beam laser.
Oh, no, this is a brand new one. It's on our site, right? It's right underneath Contact Has Begun. And there's a person by the name of Sam who came out here from Germany and spent a few days and just left his camera shooting and on a timer. And then he'd go to his computer and just stick in the the disc or whatever and check it out. And he got all these ships. And then we have another person by the name of Ali that's been taking a lot of pictures as well. So they put it on a little YouTube blurb there. You know, it's real nice the way they format it and has music and everything and titles. But, I mean, you can see these massive cigar-shaped ships. They look like just huge motherships hovering over the mountain. And a lot of discs, you know, small disc shapes we've been seeing. And then there's, and these things are moving so fast. You know, they're very hard to catch, and they're not even visible with the naked eye unless you're trained, but they do come out on the photos because the cameras take...
I'm on the VidClips page right now. Is that where it is?
Which one?
VidClips page, the video clips page?
No, go on the front page.
Okay.
And then just open it up, and as soon as it opens up...
Okay. I'm on the main page now.
Okay, now as soon as that opens up, you'll see Contact Has Begun.
Right.
Okay, scroll down. It should be right there, Sam's, unless they moved it. I haven't been on my website in a while.
Sam, S-A-M.
Just says, thank you, Sam, on there or something.
UFO in Orbit, thanks to Sam. There it is.
Yeah, that's
okay.
It. Yeah, that's the one. If you click on that, you'll see just phenomenal pictures of not just UFOs, but orbs. And just all kinds of paranormal activity that happened. And I was out there two nights ago, and there was a woman out there, and I flipped my video camera on night shot and was looking at her through the night shot, and she was out there dancing, you know, in the field. And there was these swirls of light coming up from the ground and surrounding her and spinning around her. She was out spinning around in the field, you know, looked like doing a Sufi dance or whatever. But you could actually film the energy spinning up around her as she was doing it. It was like pulling the earth energies up.
You know what's interesting? I think that if you're open to the idea of a spirit world and spirit beings and that you get the whole concept of orbs, then it's not that much harder to make the leap to understanding these off-world consciousness.
You know, I have people come up all the time. A lot of people will come up in the beginning, and they just start shooting, trying to take pictures, and they don't get anything.
Yeah.
I said, well, let me see your camera. And so I'll take their camera, and I just meditate, and I invite the orbs in, you know, to come play with them. And I take a couple pictures, and the orbs show up in them. And when they see that, they get all excited, and they go, whoa. And then they take pictures, and the orbs are there. So it's almost like you have to prime the pump a little bit, you know. But I've also seen, too, now this is really important. Now this is the science behind that, is that people actually think they see with their eyes, and they don't. Because your eyes are processing. They're bringing in billions of bits of information. And your brain is processing probably less than 10% of that information that's coming in. And so the only thing your brain is processing is what it can use, you know, what's going to help it function in this world. The rest of the stuff, it just tosses out. So you really don't see with your eyes. You see with your brain. And people go, well, I'll believe it when I see it. It's actually the other way around. If you don't believe it, you're probably not going to see it because your eyes are not going to allow that information to come through.
Well, the third eye is the way we see.
Exactly. When you move your energies up and start looking through the third eye, through the clairvoyancy, you'll start seeing the orbs and light spheres and beings walking right alongside of it.
Well, I myself have never seen anything solid, but I've seen plenty of cloud ships.
Uh-huh.
You know? And I know that, you know, that's their energy. Joan Ocean, on her site, she has a picture of a huge cloud ship that just sat over Hilo for 5 hours.
Yeah. Well, on my birthday, I had two perfect heart-shaped cloud ships, and one right above the other, hovering over the ranch. And they didn't go. They stayed there all day. And all the clouds were going over them. They're going under them. And these clouds just didn't leave. So, you know, it's pretty clear to me that, one, either they are ships, or two, or they have the ability to morph the clouds into anything.
Sure. That makes total sense.
But there's definitely some intelligence behind that, because it sure isn't, you know, the natural order of things.
No question. Speaking of orbs, I just saw recently a footage of, I don't know, there was this guy who they labeled a terrorist, Al-Zarqawi or something.
Oh, yeah.
They showed this footage. David Sarita has this, I think, where they're showing the footage of the, they're taking the guy out. And in that footage, in the lower right, you can see an orb for a good 2-3 minutes moving around. What do you think is that?
Yeah, that's pretty. We're seeing them everywhere right now. You know, who knows? Maybe these bad guys aren't as bad as we think they are. You know,
I think that the Iranians have definitely had contact, and there's been some sightings over there. And back in the 70s, there was a UFO being chased by a military jet. You know about that one?
You know, I think to me, if not to sound anti-American or whatever, but to me, if some people showed up here and they all had guns and they moved into Trout Lake and started telling us what we had to believe and how we had to act, and it was all done at the point of a gun, you know, I think people here would have a little disdain for that.
I would definitely think so.
Especially in our neck of the woods.
No question.
So, I mean, it might go over a little bit, you know, for the beginning, but it would get ugly.
Well, I love my country. It's just I fear my government right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bumper sticker. A couple other points I wanted to make. You're familiar with Billy Meyer?
Yes.
Okay. And you're familiar with Ed Walters, Gulf Breeze?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was very interesting to find that both Billy Meyer and Ed Walters were both discredited in the same way. They planted models on them.
Well, also, too, is that there's another pilot who had actually taken the exact same footage of some ships recently. So it's the identical ships that they've been taking. And pilots have taken them up in the air, so that pretty much brings credibility. One thing about the Meyer Group, which I think definitely they had contact, the nature of that contact I'm still in question in.
Questionable.
Yeah, just because the nature of their actions... I know Michael Horn, every time he gets a chance, he just comes, attacks us, and calls us every name in the book, and so has Billy. And we tried to cooperate with them and share information, and we just got attacked and called every name in the book, and it still goes on to this day. So,
human nature.
Yeah. So I think they've fallen, you know, there in consciousness. And they believe actually that Billy is the only true contactee and the one true Messiah and the only true prophet on earth. And, you know, I have a little issue with that, because I think there's a Messiah in everybody, and I think prophecy can come through anybody, even the children now. And to try to become the exclusive person again, I think we've done that, you know.
I just finished reading Courtney Brown's both books, Cosmic Voyages and Cosmic Explorers.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know, he's the one who was involved with the Hale Bob.
And
Art threw him off the show, which is really sad, because I think that Courtney was discredited. I think that
he was set up.
Yeah, he was set up, no
really,
question about it.
It really messed him. You know, it hit him pretty hard when they pulled all that stuff.
Yeah, but to the diehard skeptic, I challenge him to read that book and not come away with a total understanding of how this really comes about and how there really is scientific validation for what we're talking about.
Oh, definitely. You know, we could go into that. You know, I'm going to have to cut it off here, because we're reaching the end of the hour.
It was great talking to you. I'd love to talk to you again. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Definitely call in any time, you know, and it was great sharing with you.
Blessings to you.
All right, you too.
Okay.
Well, there we go. It seems like things are happening around the world right now, and we just have to pay attention. And it doesn't take, you know, can't pay your bills, just pay attention. But anyway, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and don't miss the show next week, which is Jay-Z Night. It's going to be an awesome show, and I'm really looking forward to it. So have a great evening, good night, and watch the skies.